We acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples' spirit, imagination, and rich history of storytelling and humour that is an inspiration for all Australians.
Welcome to the new Socialist Utopia, Australia edition of the Bearer of Weird News, where we will be putting an end to the politics of fear-mongering and attempting to divide the country through a series of broadening on absurd premises designed to confuse and increasingly time-poor population into misinformation in order to convert them into class traders in an eternal class war with the people who make like $10,000 more or less than them. Apologies. That's my opener for the News Corp Christmas party. Sorry, everybody. Everybody does stuff that I really enjoy in order to get paid. Some of us do grueling 12-hour days. So an uncaring corporation who is secretly lobbying while you're at work to get the rules changed so that they can pay you less in the interest of setting up an incentive scheme where they pay based on merit, and the lowest earner of the month, the one who sends the least packages out, not only doesn't get paid, but you know, they're ground up and laid down as grit in order to help the other workers to not slip on their own tears that cover the floor. What few they can still cry, that is, after having to preserve their precious fluids, lest they be forced to piss into a water bottle. Apologies. While I continue to look for the proper introduction to this, I'll just do a little bit of housekeeping, and I'll be in Albany, Western Australia, doing my storytelling show, I Got Bit by a Monkey Once, on Friday, June 17th, for two shows at 7 p.m. and at 8:30 p.m. Tickets are $25 for that one. If you know anybody in the area, if you know anybody who's willing to take a little road trip over to Albany, I'm at the Spectrum Theatre, it'll be a good time, come check it out. And I will be in the Edinburgh Free Fringe, yes, the big time, yes, the big run. Edinburgh is finally happening. I will be taking my storytelling show, I Got Bit by a Monkey Once, to Edinburgh as part of the Free Fringe, which means that you can pay what you feel in order to see the show. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a very good time, but it's going to be a very long month, and I am very far from home where I don't know anybody. So if you are in the area, if you're seeing any shows down that way, make some time to come and see me. I'm at Cannons Gate. There's a new room in Cannons Gate called Halfway Down, and I'm on at 9 p.m. So it should be a nice light one. Come in a little bit tipsy, not too drunk though. We still want to have fun, but not like overly raucous. You know what I mean? You gotta do some listening. It's a storytelling show. But until then, I will be the bearer of weird news. So first up, we have headlines. UK fish fingers being sold in most UK supermarkets using whitefish, caught by Russian ships, are still being sold despite many chains pledging to boycott Russian produce. When asked about the continued sale, supermarkets said, "Man, they're fish fingers. We didn't actually think they had any fish in them at all. So, consider it a bonus, I guess." A drawing of a hydrogen atom, a visual representation of DNA's double helix, are among other messages sent by NASA with the intention of resonating with extraterrestrial life and inviting them to strike up a conversation with Earth. In the event that this doesn't work, they've also sent a map of the Earth and pictures of nude humans with the message, "Hey, you up?" These intergalactic dick pics, along with 96 bags of poop that we left on the moon, go a long way to explaining why we have been ghosted by the rest of the universe. A couple in the North Indian state of Uttarakhand are suing their only son and his wife for not giving them a grandchild after 6 years of marriage. Sanjeev and Sadhana Prasad, 61 and 57, said that they used up their savings, raising their son, paying for his pilot's training, as well as a lavish wedding. They are demanding compensation worth nearly $650,000 if no grandchild is born within a year. In a surprisingly crass statement, the couple said, We didn't spend all this money making you fuckable because we love you. We just knew you wouldn't give us grandkids without our help. Most parents cap it at a simple guilt trip. These guys are really laying on the harsh truths. And, quite frankly, I'm here for it. A mass shooting in a Texas primary school has killed at least 21 people and prompted Joe Biden to deliver an emotional call asking, when, in God's name, are we going to stand up to the gun lobby? And if only he were in a sufficient position of power that had the ability to make significant and sweeping change of American law. Well, I guess we'll just have to wait until somebody in such a position has had enough and is willing to act. It's a tragedy. Speaking of guns, though, guns are banned during Trump's upcoming speech at the NRA conference. I mean, it's almost as if they're scared that something bad might happen if guns are present, but that couldn't be it. There must be another reason. After 32 years in Russia, McDonald's is leaving the country for good, citing the humanitarian crisis caused by the war in Ukraine as reason for the change, going on to announce this new humanitarian crisis response method of operations means that they will be forced to pull operations out of most American states following their appeal of Roe v. Wade. A Twitter account for Toto, the dog of new Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, named Australia's First Dog, has appeared online. Despite the account not having links to the PM, Sky News has already dedicated 20 whole minutes of how this is a sign of rampant nepotism in the new Labour government. It's impressive, to be honest, they work so fast. Shareholders of Crown Resorts have unsurprisingly voted in favour of a nearly $9 billion takeover bid by American private equity firm Blackstone, which will net them $13 a share. I mean, who would have guessed that people invested in a casino would be motivated by money to dump their scandal-ridden white whale of an investment for a positive profit? It's weird. However, state regulators are still assessing if Blackstone is a fit and proper associate to operate Crown Melbourne, Perth, and the proposed Sydney casino. Questions like, do they have what it takes to callously take from the poor with promises of glamour and wealth? These are the things that we need to consider. With Blackstone being a notoriously scandalous company who have been key players in the global housing affordability crisis and invested in companies with links to the commercialization and deforestation of the Amazon rainforest, they seem the perfect, black-hearted, ruthless match for running a casino. Plus, this will mean that the regulators put in place to curb Crown's more scandalous inclinations will actually have something to do for the next 2 years. Because if Australia hates anything, it's people getting paid money to not do a job. New research has revealed deep learning models based on artificial intelligence can identify somebody's race from their x-rays. As experienced AI has made everything we do more efficient, now we don't even need to see somebody's skin colour to apply the full biases of the racist system that we built. Hey, that's progress, people. The S&P 500 has booted Tesla from its ESG index as part of an annual update to the list, citing Tesla's lack of a low carbon strategy and codes of business conduct along with racism and poor working conditions reported at Tesla's factory in Fremont, California. It's a rare show of compassion and societal consciousness from the bundle of investors who still have Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, and even oil and gas multinational ExxonMobil included on their list. After all, Apple did put up suicide nets at its Foxconn site, so you can know that they care about their sweatshop employees. It's very important to them that you know that. And Tesla must be especially bad given that Amazon is still included in the bundle despite allegedly discriminating against pregnant and disabled workers in New York. Wow. Wow, they must be real bad. Not only that, but Amazon made a pregnant union organizer at the end of her second trimester pick up cigarette butts alone in a parking lot for 10 hours, you know, so she couldn't talk to anyone. It's just good to know where the line is with SMP. Pregnant and disabled people, you can bully them all you want. It's important to draw these lines somewhere. The New Zealand government will help pay for lower income families to scrap their old gas guzzling cars and replace them with cleaner hybrid or electric cars as part of a sweeping plan to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. However, this plan does fail to address the country's largest climate threat, being next door to Australia. And that's it for the headlines today. Let's get into it. First up, the end of the national nightmare news. It is May 2022 as this is recorded, and the Australian election has just ended. While the preference votes are counted and a wave of collective relief falls over roughly 60% of the country, it is time to look over the damage that was wrought during the election cycle and once again believe that maybe we can possibly hope to try and potentially move into maybe not being the last in the world on climate action. We dare to dream of being maybe second last? What a delightful dream that is. Second last. We can point to somebody else and say, oh, well, at least we're not them. As there was a change at the highest office in Australia, not the Governor General, you'll never have a say in that unless you're willing to take one for the team and marry the newly single queen before she hands over full power to Charles. But hey, if you're willing to go for it, we will set up a GoFundYou. No, I mean the Prime Minister, as Anthony Albanese has taken the role in a landslide victory over a government run so poorly that people have lost their infatuation with trying to change the bad boy, who we know that we can change if they would just let us love them party, the Coalition, and instead would rather turn to the party of being thirsty for your votes, Labour. A party so desperate for you, it actually has your interests as one of a long list of potential priorities they will definitely try and get to before we get tired of the Good Guy Act and make our messy bitch return to the bad boys of politics for another go at changing their ways. I know that we can do it. If we really believe in ourselves, we can change them. We can change them. Former Prime Minister and last of the travelling coal salesmen, Scott Morrison, was surprised that the largest existential threat of our lifetime significantly changed the outcome of the election. I mean, who would have guessed? After all, historically, that has not been the case. And the Coalition, being the party of living in the past, have always campaigned on the idea that science is a mythical nuisance that can be dispelled by using the correct combination of spells, be it newt's eyes, bat's wings, and front page reports about how the world is doing just fine, just put them all in a big pot and stir them around yourself. Morrison came to the conclusion early that he was in trouble when overwhelming evidence rolled in that Labour was going to win undeniably, which is, for him, a rare move, because the Coalition has never really been one for acknowledging overwhelming evidence, usually waiting until it's beyond hope of recovery to dump it on the next person and sit back and cry about how they failed to stop this from happening. If only they were a better government, then they would have seen this coming. During his concession speech, Morrison came out and thanked soldiers, and was sure to thank the traditional owners of Australia, the Murdoch family. While it was not immediately sure if Morrison would step down from the leadership position or be voted out, we didn't need to wait too long. He bounced out of the leadership position in less time than it takes to watch a Marvel movie, taking the opportunity to bail when things got hard, putting a final predictable pin in his time as Prime Minister. As the votes continue to roll in, we saw the possible pool of expected leadership challenges shrink from 2 to 1 when Josh Frydenberg officially conceded, leaving professional Voldemort impersonator and Defense Against the Dark Politics Minister Peter Dutton as the only candidate for Liberal leader. It says a lot about the Liberal Party that one of the excuses they've given for Morrison's failure was Morrison's blokey image has driven them to Peter Dutton, who not only lost a leadership spill to Morrison in 2018, because Dutton would be hard to sell, but they turned to Morrison for his, like, everyman dad bod image that he projects. According to the ABC, there is a fear among moderate liberals, that if you believe such an oxymoron could exist, that a Dutton leadership might embolden conservatives to drag the party further to the right, with one MP saying that they would make their view very clear that the Liberals are the party for middle Australia and must not be lurching to the left or the right. Well, if they want a man for the centre of Australia, Dutton is the man to go to. His hardline views on climate change as a thing that should be experienced but not spoken about, according to former Chief of Defence Force Chris Barry, who said, "Defence personnel are not allowed to speak out on the national strategic threats posed by climate change without prior approval from Peter Dutton's office." Despite the fact that in recent years, defence being expanded to not only include national security of Australia, but to grapple with non-traditional security issues, such as climate change-related disaster relief. Weird. So you can see, he's already heavily involved in fence-sitting as a matter of not going too far to the left or too far to the right. And as the water levels of the coast rise and all of Australia will be forced to the centre of the country, then he's doing his job. Eliminating the metropolitan and regional divide, making us all regional Australians, bringing us together as one. Even keeping in good spirits about the whole thing, here he can be seen having a good old laugh about the idea that our Pacific neighbours will be able to pick our fruit when their island nations start to drown under rising sea levels. What a hilarious joke. So he's already thinking about the economy post-climate change. That's a good sign, as his deputy is going to be former environmental minister and woman showing who is responsible for problems she helped to create, Susan Ley. Long-term listeners would remember Susan does not have a duty of climate change to protect young people from the harms of climate change, Ley, from that time that she, as environment minister, appealed against a high-profile court decision that found that she had a duty of care to protect young people from the climate crisis when assisting fossil fuel developments. And then, just to prove a point, pushed some children in front of a bus to show that she also didn't have a duty of care when it comes to saving children from the dangers of oncoming traffic. Yeah, it was just a real proper flex, that one. Nor from bird attack, as she spread breadcrumbs all over their recently injured bodies, and then laughed and laughed and laughed. So, you know, two good-humoured people coming to power. A real solid team with measured, considerate thoughts about the future of the country. It's just good to see that they've got their shit together. But the time for strong leadership is now, and Dutton is nothing but a strong-headed loudmouth who won't let others bully him, right? Not even refugee advocate Shane Barzi, who he sued for defamation after Barzi tweeted that he was a rape apologist when he made excuses for actions that were clearly rape. But he's not going to let simple things like the truth get in the way of defence, because that's his strong suit, defence. Western Australian Premier and man about to point out that, actually, Gollum, despite his flaws, ended up being the saviour of Middle-earth, so you implying that he is the Gollum of Western Australia is actually a good thing, because he's a misunderstood hero. Mark McGowan said that Peter Dutton is an extremist who doesn't fit modern Australia, which is an unfair characterisation of the minister, as the country that has unlawfully detained refugees and refused to make movements on climate change despite being one of the biggest cogs in the machines of its progress, he is actually perfectly suited for modern Australia. But Australia might be looking at possibly thinking about potentially changing that. So, like, for that Australia, it might be a bit much. But we'll see. We have to get there first. Best leave him in the trash heap of history with the cans of dog food that were allegedly, left on his desk by his fellow cops when he left the police force in Queensland. So if Engadine Maccas is the unsustainable rumour of the Morrison-led coalition, then Peter Dog Food Dutton will be the next one. And that's something that we can all talk about. I mean, McGowan isn't the only one with public thoughts on this man, as senior government MP Tanya Plibersek has apologised for likening Peter Dutton to Voldemort after Anthony Albanese said that it was inappropriate. He did, however, acknowledge that it was kind of funny because, you know, of Dutton's general disregard for kindness and human affection. He does kind of look like him. These attacks have forced the Liberal Party and News Corp to begin the process of workshopping nicknames for Peter Dutton to make him seem human. Top contenders are Nice Guy Uncle Dutton, who totally won't hurt you, Happy Peter, who has never, ever locked anybody up unlawfully, where'd you hear that, Peter Takes a Joke Well Dutton, and Supreme Leader Dutton. So just, you know, give those a bit of a feel, see which one feels right for you. But with it now shown that Peter Dutton will be taking leadership, other members of the party are falling into line to be the first to say that they've always supported him and that he isn't a monster that his actions clearly make him out to be. First up was a Liberal MP and man who was totally unaware he's been connected to a business that took $37 million in government contracts, Stuart No Idea Robin, who says that you can't judge Dutton on his views or actions. Interesting. Saying you can't judge someone on either comments they've made or decisions they've done when they're exercising either personal conscience or their particular viewpoint. As we look down the very real possibility of a federal ICAC, I think Stuart Robert is just seeding the public mindset with the idea that one can't be held to one's views or one's actions, but simply the easily provable metric of one's hearts and one's intentions. Very simple stuff. Citing some random, totally hypothetical examples of things that one shouldn't be held to, even if they did them, like, oh, I don't know, say, charging the public $38,000 for unnecessary internet expenditures, allowing refugees to languish for years in unlawful detention, making excuses for rapists and dismissing rape victims, making a joke about water lapping at the door of Pacific Island nations because of climate change, maybe boycotting the Stolen Generation apology and personally voting no and encouraging others to do the same at the same-sex plebiscite in 2017. But those are just random examples. No reason to look too much into them. These are not things that defines a person's character. Going on to say, just because someone's got a different view to the ABC, respectfully, doesn't make them terrible or wrong. Elaborating, like that Hitler guy, for example, I hear so much about, like, you wouldn't judge him on his comments he made or the decisions that he exercised while expressing his viewpoints just because they're different from that of the ABC. Makes sense? Makes sense. Things, however, are becoming desperate at Sky News as Paul Murray rebrands Sky News After Dark as...
Welcome to the first meeting of the new resistance.
In order to not lose another election, they will use a large number of unconventional tricks, from refusing to learn from their mistakes, to blaming climate change, to the new Dark Lord Peter Dutton committing to use necromancy to raise the corpse of the LNP into hideous unlife. Seems like a solid plan. Dancing the corpses of old white men around in an attempt to fool supporters that there is some life left in the old boys still. Maybe doing the thriller dance. As it has gone and placed itself as part of
the new resistance,
Sky News has agreed to house one of Peter Dutton's horcruxes to keep hope of a dark resurrection alive. The LNP have also been talking about increased investment in sciences, as the search for electable LNP candidates for the next election will require some sort of multiversal intervention. Meanwhile, here in the worst timeline, business uncle Rupert Murdoch is going to look into buying all of the media in New Zealand as having a renewable source of the hope of goodness and commitment to change so close to Australia is actually diluting the pure bile that the Australian people have become used to sustaining themselves on for decades. Grumbling to himself, people are getting too many ideas. And it is seeming increasingly likely that they will need it, as there is turmoil in the party already, with Barnaby Joyce saying the Nationals refuse to rule out a coalition split, reassuring voters it was his preference to continue the partnership with the Liberals, but, you know, saying it'd be up to them and their decisions, saying in a very reassuring tone, it's a real nice coalition that we've got here. Be a shame if something were to happen to it, eh? What shame that'd be. Causing something of a Sophie's Choice for Sky News, who'd be forced to choose who they want to stay with if the Nationals refuse to stay as a coalition. While the big business side of the Liberal Party seems an obvious match for the propaganda machine, the Nationals are saying that they may abandon the support for net zero emissions after the coalition's election defeat, and that is a really appealing idea for Sky News, who genuinely hated pretending that they weren't climate-denying, poisonous, idea-spewing merchants of shit for 2 weeks while they talked about the problem with climate change. You know, that one time that they did that? And seeing as the National Party just spilled its leadership position and won't have to deal with Barnaby Joyce, well, that simply sweetens the pot, eh? Adani, however, were thrilled at the idea of the coalition split because it means that they'd be getting two Christmases every year. Twice as many gifts, twice as much fun. Moving on now for Diversity for the Win news. Now, the election results aren't all about the outgoing members of the Liberal Party, no. Though that is exciting news, we also have people coming into the Parliament, people replacing said Liberal members, and boy, oh boy, has the media noticed, with the Sydney Morning Herald running, the story that the incoming federal parliament will include double the number of Asian Australian MPs, a statement that has scared Pauline Hanson so much that she might not take her seat back, lest she be in her nightmare scenario from 20 years ago, being forced to be respectful towards Asians. Not only do we have a record number of Asian Australians, we have a clear majority of female senators, and all this was achieved without the LNP putting in a single diversity quota in place, proving their old mandate that diversity quotas aren't necessary as long as one of the major parties openly hides rape allegations and fails to act on climate change. But mostly the climate change stuff, because remember, this was the climate election, not the decency and human rights election. After all, climate change impacts all of us. Lack of human rights only impacts the poor and the powerless. And frankly, they don't have the kind of influence that shifts votes. So maybe if they invested in, a sad polar bear to get their message out, they'll have a large chunk of the vote next time around. Good luck next time, poor and powerless. You'll get there. Diversity advocates pointed to the success of several non-white multilingual candidates in competitive seats in the federal election as evidence that minority populations in Australia were on the precipice of evolving like multinational butterflies into the middle class and taking the role of quiet Australians, which actually makes them worthy of acknowledgement as humans and not just bags of money to put under one leg of the table to stabilize the economic table when it becomes a little bit wonky. Congratulations! Women are expected to fill approximately 57% of Senate spots and about 38% of House of Representative members in the new parliament, which will definitely change the games of soggy biscuit that get played in the prayer room and may cause a rethinking of the parliament's standing and wanking onto your desk policy. I mean, it's political correctness gone mad, I tell you. There will be 13 members of parliament from non-Indigenous, non-European backgrounds, which is up from 9 in the previous parliament, and 10 of those are women. 3 new Indigenous MPs are entering parliament, taking the total number of Indigenous parliamentarians to an all-time high of 10. Parliament is on track to have 6% of MPs with non-Indigenous, non-European backgrounds. Sounds pretty good, right? However, the Australian Parliament is still significantly less representative than comparable countries like Canada, New Zealand, and Britain. Wait a minute, Britain. Britain? Guys, Britain. Guys, Britain. Really? You might remember Britain when they, because they recently did like a big vote that was supposedly about independence, but it was definitely about unrestrained racism, an ideal of blue passports, nostalgia for a time that only ever really existed in the shared imagination of the elderly, which was then passed down to people about, you know, the good old days, and bananas? Something about bananas, if I remember correctly. And it was a very confusing time. But we're behind them. We're behind those guys. This is thanks in part to a notable decline in racial diversity in the Liberal Party room. A clear sign to their voters that they still understand what they want from the party at its core. A rigid anchor that slows the march of progress. Because progressives insist that everybody gets saved, not just the ones that actively help bring about better conditions. It is often considered a fundamental flaw in the progressive system, which might be better sped along by a more aggressive get woke or we will shoot you into space to work at the Musk Bezos No Rules Space Libertarian Bonanza Palooza, where everybody is free and nobody should follow any rules unless those rules are put down by a corporation, of course. Don't be ridiculous. Now, a member of note in many articles for many of the wrong reasons is independent MP Dai Lee, who came to Australia as a refugee aged 11 and will be the first federal MP of Vietnamese heritage, who defeated Labour frontbencher and mum enjoying a parachuting experience for her birthday before she runs out of time to do fun things, Christina Keneally, in the previously safe southwest Sydney seat of Fowler. Dai Lee has come under scrutiny because of her heritage, with people jumping on Auspol's favourite outdated ideal for our increasingly global community, Section 44. Lee rejects suggestions that she's ineligible for Australia's Parliament due to Section 44, saying on her website that she is not only a citizen, but she has been sure to take care of any citizenship issues. And truthfully, guys, I'm not worried about her stance when it comes to Section 44. But I am concerned that ahead of the 2015 state election, then New South Wales Premier Mike Baird sent his most junior ministers to secure pre-selection for Dai Li for the Upper House Liberal ticket. And she also had unsuccessful runs as a Liberal Lower House candidate in the safe Labor seat of Cabramatta. So that is two times that she's tried to run for the Liberal Party. That's right, this isn't a one-off, try it and see if you like it, you know, Liberal curious thing. She feels like enough of a part of her basic makeup that the Libs thought she was one of them and that they'd give it a crack. Now, her website says good things and I'm open to giving her a chance, but maybe keep an eye on how she votes and what she tries to bring in. After all, Dave Sharma's website said all sorts of nice things about being positive on climate change policy, none of which he followed through on. So just maybe we keep an eye on what she gets up to, eh? As well as celebrate her milestone diversity. Like, we can do two things. We can do both things at the same time. Speaking of doing two things, incoming Greens MP Stephen Bates said he still has 3 shifts left at his retail job before he can travel to Canberra, claiming he will still be showing up as, quote, I still have to pay my rent. Painting a worrying picture that maybe the Greens aren't leftist enough. I mean, maybe we need a party whose members wouldn't be afraid to leave his former filthy capitalist captor high and dry. While class and solidarity is definitely a thing and you want to look after your fellow employees, his employer could definitely have swapped out the shifts with somebody who isn't moving to join the party of leading us up the pathway of guillotining some billionaires. I just feel like there was a bit of room to give. Bates says that he was motivated to get into politics after working at Disney World in the United States and finding a colleague on the floor crying because she had to choose between buying insulin and paying the rent, which honestly should have been all the motivation that he needed to abandon his retail hell and prepare to fight the good fight in a very real way. This guy might be somebody we need to keep an eye on too, for not delivering the revolution in a timely manner. But as we head towards the end of the seat count, with, as of this recording, I think 2 seats left, Labor has just formed a majority government, and it is time for the major parties to have a real think about the shape of the parliament, about what people want, and who the next generation is, and how they vote, really, and how vocal they already are about little things like, the potential end of existence, and that they really support and want to see more diversity, and just things to consider, maybe. Now, Treasurer Jim Chalmers said Peter Dutton becoming leader would show the coalition have learned absolutely nothing from the drubbing that they got on Saturday. Peter Dutton has all of the same characteristics that people didn't like that they saw in Scott Morrison. Failing to raise that this is exactly why Peter Dutton is the perfect pick for the Liberal Party base, a man who will not move the party forward and is cruel and unrelenting, which is exactly what they voted for. Finance Minister Katie Gallagher said she did not think that Dutton would pose a threat to Labor getting re-elected in 3 years' time, going on to say that Labor were going to have to leave that up to the Labor Party to fuck up. However, an equally stunned Labor Party, as one of their first actions as a government, will propose a royal commission into just exactly how Labor actually won the election. And, like, we do look forward to the results of that. Maybe it will give them some insights into running a party based on policy, rather than running a party on just not being the coalition. And we are all hoping for the best here at the Bearer of Weird News. The commission will be a necessary hard look at themselves as the coalition heads into opposition, the place of yelling, saying you're dumb across the parliament and rolling your eyes saying, I wouldn't have done it like that in a passive-aggressive manner, while equally not having to prove any of the statements that you make. All in all, it's a pretty sweet gig, which is why after 9 years of extensive failure on climate change, sexual assault, Indigenous affairs, vaccines, wage growth, wage theft, refugees, unlawful detention, corruption, and the odd cheeky wank on a desk, the LNP are finally ready to hold the government to account for its actions. Better late than never, right? I mean, you wait around long enough, you get there in the end. And guys, that is it. That is the entire pre-election roundup episode. Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for listening to the end. If you're still here, maybe you can help us out. You can share this with some friends. You can send it to anyone who you think might enjoy it. Share it on social media. Put it in all the places that people enjoy this sort of stuff. And, you know, feel free to cut it up and send the bits that you like the best. And if you want to, you can come out and see one of the shows. I feel like that's honestly the best way to support the show, is to support me. So if I get to make my live shows a success, I have more time to do these things. You'll see I've been able to put these things out a bit more recently lately, and that is a direct result of having a bit more time to do things, going a little bit better and performing a little bit more. So if you can get into that. Otherwise, if you don't have time for that, or if you don't live near where I'm going to be, that's fine. You can always check out my link tree and send in some donations. You can kick off like a one-off donation. We don't really have a Patreon or anything like that, but if people are interested in that sort of thing, let me know and I'll be able to set something up. Until then, stay safe, look after yourselves. If you haven't done so, get your booster and be good to each other. Bye. Thank you.